It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to the 70th episode of Cabali and Mac. It's June 25th, 2025, and Yinz thought there was nothing going on in the world. There's plenty going on. We're going to talk about all of it. Make sure that if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, you're getting in touch with our friends at the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. The whole team, they're ready, willing, able, and more than happy to help you move from a smaller home to a bigger home. Maybe you're downsizing. I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing with your Haas, they're there to help you. The Dan Heck team, HeckTeamHomes.com, the key to your next door. Again, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. They present Cabali and Mac, and you don't want to miss a thing? Of course not. Make sure you're following us at Cabali and Mac on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, and of course on YouTube, where once we get to 2,500 subscribers, up over 1,800 now, once we get to 2,500 subscribers, we'll give away random drawing that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. We got an added gift thrown into the mix, kaboom. We got to figure out what to do with now. Our good buddy Benny Business over at Yoli's, where you get the Pappy Nola. Food, amazing, great bar there as well. They are offering us a $100 gift card giveaway. So we got to figure that out. We got to figure out how we're going to give that away. But
you know what's
happening in the coming days and weeks?
They got some fabulous salads too. You ever see those suckers?
They're big. Big old salads.
They got a lot of stuff in it. You know, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's tasty.
Apparently, you know, the pizza's pretty good.
Everything. And I have never tried something at Yoli's that I didn't like.
And my kids and even my wife love their hoagies, their grinders, their subs, hoagies, whatever you call them.
Grinders, navy beans,
Unbelievable. Beans, but yeah, that's a big get there, man. I would. Whew.
So, yeah, we'll figure out how to give that away. Maybe we'll do something with a Twitter giveaway, you know, number of followers on X or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll let you know exactly what you got to do to win that $100 gift card to Yoli's if you live in the Pittsburgh area. I know a lot of you don't. But look, everybody winning the autographed stuff so far has been from out of town because we know Pittsburgh, everywhere, always. But this one might be better for the local folks, and they can bounce on out to Yoli's, get a nice meal, $100 gift card. We'll give you the details on that soon enough. We got a lot to get to today. We'll replay some of the clips from Aaron Rodgers' appearance on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And after multiple attempts screwed up by both yours truly and our guest, because I don't know, he's doing CrossFit the other day or something, Josh Yowie is finally going to join the show on the eve of the NHL draft, free agency days away as well. We're going to talk to him about the entire offseason. Dan Muse, the new head coach, Evgeny Malkin's future, whether they're going to trade up in the draft now with the 11th and 12th picks, all kinds of stuff. Can they trade Carlson's contract? All those things on the table with Josh Yowie when he jumps into the fray in a few minutes as well. What'd you think O'Neal Cruz last night, kaboom?
Man, it's to be expected. It's to be expected. The guy dogs it after a ground ball to center field where if anybody playing youth baseball, high school baseball would get yanked out at the time. It's like, oh, you know, he's – I didn't know if I was going to be able to get to it and Frazier was coming over. I mean, this is multiple times this has happened. And he's either doesn't care or doesn't care. I mean, what else could it be right now? You don't ask much from these guys. The team stinks. Just hustle and try. You know, like my 8-year-old kid play. You know, if you strike out, you strike out. At least hustle and act like you want to be there.
Yeah. He also runs like a gazelle and could probably make most double plays easily contested, but he didn't on that one. Donnie Kelly sat him down for it.
Good. He should have sat him down the other day for it.
And talked to him about it. Cruz took accountability for it after the game, I guess, and said he knows that he's got to do better. I mean, we'll see what happens. They're the Buccos. They're not going anywhere. Skeens starts today. If you need a reason to watch them.
He's facing the fireballer himself and an up-and-comer guy. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. What was that, 210?
Yeah, just after 2 o'clock Eastern. So really good game See if the Pirates can get one in Milwaukee. Take the series, maybe.
Or not.
You win the first game of this series? Sorry.
You can tell how much. Yeah, they won two in a row until last night, I believe.
That's right. And then they lost last. Anyway, so yeah, maybe take a series in Milwaukee, which has been a house of horrors for them.
Nicky Gonzalez is now the next O'Neill Cruz.
Nicky G hits, man. I don't care. Five hits the other night. I mean,
I love it. It's all relative.
It's all relative to what? Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't care. A dude goes 5 for 5. It's impressive. I don't care if he's playing for the Pirates, for the Wild Things, or for the Yankees.
It's impressive if he goes 5 for 5, but it's not impressive that he goes 1 for his next 30.
Okay. Why are you see, this is what I preach. You know, they asked me to come in and give a little pep talk to the girls before their game on Friday. I told you about that at their last tournament over in
I would love to see that.
It wasn't long. It wasn't drawn out. But I said, you got to stop expecting bad things to happen. I basically ripped it straight off from Clint Hurdle and what he talked about.
Wait. You're talking about your, what is it, 16
girl softball team, yeah.
Instead of a team that's lost for like 36 straight years.
I'm talking about your attitude.
My attitude.
Stop expecting bad things to happen. Because
I've watched 35 years of shitty baseball is why. That's
Nick
why.
Gonzalez goes 5 for 5, and all of a sudden you're like, as long as you go 0 for your next 30.
I don't guess it's trust. Good. Well, we were extending O'Neill Cruz a month ago. Now you're running him out of town. Right, out of town. I don't trust anything I see with this team. Nothing. You think they have,
I'm not saying because Nick Gonzalez went 5 for 5, the Pirates are going to go on some epic major league like winning streak to make the playoffs. I'm just saying it's a nice thing to see. You got to recognize it. Well, that's all
thing to see for one day, but I'm not getting overexcited about it. I mean, what was it a week or two ago? Is this team close? Close to what? All I got to say is two words, baby. Banana ball.
Okay. All right. Did you finally figure out if you actually got tickets or not?
I got my 5 tickets, man. I'm thinking, I don't know. I want to sell the suckers. 5? You're only allowed to buy 5.
Jeez, are you serious?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the extra?
I don't know. Maybe the kid will bring somebody. I don't know.
Sell maybe it and I'll have just some say weird homeless can't... guy sitting next to you during the game.
Hey, maybe I just say, we can't go, and I can sell them on the open market and make some cash.
Oh, come on. Don't do that to the boy. Kaboom Jr. is super excited for Banana Ball, I bet.
Banana Ball.
Banana Ball, baby.
Hey, only five tickets per person. The sucker sold out almost instantly of, 70,000, 80,000 seats between
the two. Oh, yeah, because they're playing two games. I was like, wait a second. What are you talking about? They're PNC Park. Thanks to our good friends at Southwest Greens, you could have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of work. How do you do that? Well, real simple. They come out and tell you how they can install a beautiful artificial lawn that looks better than any other yard in the neighborhood. You don't have to water it. You don't have to mow it. You don't have to spray crazy weed killer on. I got weeds all over my lawn right now. I got to call Southwest Greens and finally get to work here. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Get a hold of them there. Tell Jake the Kabali and Max sent you. They'll come on out, tell you exactly what they can do. Maybe you don't want to do the whole yard. Maybe you just want a little corner of the yard around the kids' play set or near the pool, whatever it may be. They can do it for you. They'll make it look great. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well.
You know about that? Mac is too, is they travel. I see they're in Johnstown.
All over the place right now. Jake went up to Erie one day, I think. I mean, all over Western PA.
This is just not a Pittsburgh area thing.
No, if you're anywhere within like a 3-hour drive, probably. Maybe I don't want to make promises more. They can't keep. But they'll probably come on out and give you a quote and tell you exactly what they can do.
Hey, somebody has an idea there. Maybe the 5th ticket I can give a giveaway.
You could. Somebody joins the Kaboom family.
If Benny Business is watching this, give me that gift card and I can give you the...
No, the gift card, stop it. The gift card is for the listeners and the viewers. Trying to bring people into the show.
I rather must go to Yoli's than maybe Banana Ball, I'm thinking.
You're more, yeah, you probably would enjoy Yoli's more. No, Banana Ball is going to be awesome. Come on, imagine the smile on your
face. It's Labor Day weekend, right?
Is it?
August 29th, 30th. There's going to be Rib Fest down there and that.
Oh, it's going to be busy down there. You're going to be okay with that?
No.
I didn't think so. Wait, it's the 29th and 30th of August?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is.
I'm not a fan of groups of people.
You're not a fan of people in general, but whatever.
Yeah, I can.
To each their own. Yep. The Steelers have wrapped up mandatory minicamp. You know that. Everybody has gone their separate ways. Maybe they'll get together in little pockets here and there to work out before camp opens. And now just, let me do the math, 28 days, July 23rd, up in Latrobe. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, talked about a million different things. We got a bunch of clips we can choose from, but I know there was one that you vehemently disagree with.
See you up there at training camp.
Hey, come on out to Latrobe, man. It's beautiful out there. That's what I hear.
Yeah, maybe.
It is beautiful out there.
Maybe. I was there as a kid.
Do a little live show at training camp with the Steelers, you know?
Yeah, let's go to Dino's. That's a good get idea. Some wings.
Down at Latrobe with Glazer and Tomlin. Aaron.
It is time we go home.
And Brett Michaels.
Yeah. Arthur Smith.
Marty.
Tell him to bring his brother.
Maybe we should go do a training camp. I don't know if we're allowed. We would have to get that would have to be approved by the Steelers. Bert, I think the Steelers would approve.
Bert already. I just asked Bert. He approved.
Yeah, call Bert. Boom. Bert's in. Yeah, he's 100% in.
You talk about lotting down there. All right, we will.
Can we stop at Kennywood?
Yes,
definitely.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? Let me just. That's the one thing that I did. They went to Kennywood. The team had a team out at Kennywood. I missed it. I feel real bad about that.
So Aaron Rodgers disappointed he didn't get to ride the Jackrabbit.
First
you
of
a big
all,
fan of Latrobe, though. You as excited for Latrobe as Rodgers is?
First of all, I saw a little wry smile on Rodgers' face thinking, I'm 20 years into this sucker. All I had to do was ride a little kid's bike down the road every day in Green Bay for 18 years. Now I got to go up here for 3 weeks in this heat. This is awful. That's the way I look at it.
It's the same atmosphere as Green Bay, basically.
I just can't believe Pat hasn't been there since he was a kid.
Well, he was busy playing football for a while. So,
nobody enjoys going to training camp. I guess if I've been there.
My
I've been there 23 straight years. It's not it's not high on my priority list anymore of just
out. This is the pessimistic, jaded Mark Caballi we've come to know and love.
Anything for 25 years, you're going to get sick of it.
That's fair.
I do it. It's fun, but I'm not going to look forward to it.
But Rodgers can't wait for it. He can't wait for training camp. He can't wait to hear the Yinzer accents like his former coach.
McCarthy at the draft. That guy's, his Yinzer accent is thick.
The GOAT.
I mean, he is awesome.
He's the GOAT. Think about him calling plays 100 miles an hour with that accent. That's why I always say I can speak Pittsburghese because I could understand what he was saying. He was 13 years as he was just rattling shit off so fast, you know?
He said to me, he said, I don't sound like that. I don't sound like that. That's not how I talk.
Yeah, you do,
like.
Coach.
It's like that is exactly how you sound, like how my dad sounds and how like all my friends' dads sound. That's why the Pittsburgh dad character is so good, because like literally everybody in Pittsburgh is like, yup, heard that through it all.
The people I met at the golf course, those people I saw at the hotel, they all sound like that. I was like, this is amazing. These are my people right here. These are my people. I love
it. You need to start picking it up. Like, you know when Americans go over to London and they start.
Sure.
You know,
yeah. Yeah. I hate that though. Don't do that.
You need to do that in Pittsburgh. That's what I'm saying. Just
That's okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't really do that in Green Bay. I didn't, you know, I got the lingo down, but it didn't enter into my own personal diction or vocabulary. So
you drop a third down, boys, with mic'd up coming with the helmet on. I mean, that would be a great clip. Great clip. If you want to motivate the boys, especially Zach there at center, just say third down.
Rodgers really has. I don't know if he's putting it on or not. It seems genuine.
It seems genuine to me.
He's putting on this affinity, or he really genuinely loves Pittsburgh. Like, I don't know if he's seen, I saw a post the other day. They got the shirts down in the strip already. You know, it says, welcome to the neighborhood. And then it says, Mr. Rodgers, RODGERS. And, you know, they got the cartoon drawing of Rodgers with the football. I don't know if, you know, it seems, like I said, genuine, but this sort of little love affair with Pittsburgh, Pittsburghese, Yinzerdom, all of it. He seems all in on that at the very least.
Well, maybe he's just all out on New York. I mean, you're talking about 180 degree turn right there. Plus, his last couple of years in Green Bay probably weren't pleasant, right? Fair. He seems legit and authentic to me. And I told you that seeing him in minicamp, I'm like, it's just whatever you thought of this dude. It's just not, doesn't seem like that's the guy, man. And nothing that I saw out of him for that 45 minutes came across to me as contrived, a PR shtick, trying to get the people like him. He was just BSing with some guys. I mean, everything out of his mouth did not sound like it was made up. Maybe other than he likes Pittsburgh dad. But
you got a problem with Pittsburgh dad? We need to get him on his show.
We were hanging out at Ollie's. I mean, like I told you that. Me and him were hanging out at Ollie's one day.
That's right.
So, I mean, we're talking. You know what we were talking about?
What?
Aaron Rodgers.
See?
Is Aaron Rodgers coming?
I'm like, full circle. The circle of life is this offseason.
He was buying some kind of energy drinks.
I see him, Pittsburgh dad, Kurt, who plays Pittsburgh dad. I see him jogging up on Old Clareton Road in Pleasant Hills all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't pay him. Next time I'm gonna have to beep at him if I see him.
Yeah. Give him away.
In the program. You know what we should do? We should have Bad Napoleon and Pittsburgh dad on at the same time.
That's just asking for trouble. I think one at a time is probably the best way to handle that. It's that time of year, though. We might have to pull out some of the big guns. Bad Napoleon.
Not much longer, man. What are we looking at? A month?
28 days, I said at the top of the show. 28 days till camp, till players got to report to St. Vincent. 4 weeks. That's 4 weeks exactly, because it'll be a Thursday. Before we know it, it's going to be here. 4th of July next weekend.
4th of July is the official end of summer in my eyes.
Come on. Again.
Trust me. When it hits the 4th of July, you'll blink and it will be first day of school for the kids.
What
happened to the summer? I'm telling you.
So pessimistic all
the time. No, that's how the world works. 4th of July is the end of summer.
Why you got to bring everybody down? Because Rodgers is saying all the right things, and you just bring the mood down, Don.
You know what? I wonder if he's going to go hang out in the Rodgers Center.
Oh, that's a good get a picture of him.
But man, like I said, he hit that one out of the ballpark. And if I put a Twitter poll up, I think people are just being dicks on there though. Yesterday.
No, I saw your Twitter poll. Can I tell you what?
Most of them are like, nah, he's still an ass. I'm like, what?
No, I think it was the way you phrased the question, though. Or at least the way. Yeah, it is. I think it's the way you phrased it. Did his appearance on Pat's show yesterday change the way you feel about Rodgers at all? I answered no. I voted in your little poll there on X. Right. And I said no, because like I haven't anticipated Rodgers being a dick at all.
You might be the only one then.
I've said it a million times, and I think there are more reasonable people like me than there are loudmouth extremes who I don't care about any of the off the field crap. I just worry about what he can still do on the field.
I got 70% no, 30% yes.
Yeah. So I don't think, look, you know what you get on social media to begin with. Some people are going to say stuff just to kind of get a rise out of you. But it didn't change the way I feel about Rodgers at all. I thought it was a great appearance, great interview.
When you talk about Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people talk about him. It was always like, yeah, he's a cancer, this, a cancer, that. I think this just pretty much kills that to the point of where it's like, can he play football? I mean all the other stuff I think is out the window now. We know he wants to be here. We know everything that we thought he would, or some thought he was going to do, he's not did, you know, talking on, you know, announcing the McAfee show, not showing up to minicamp, blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. I think now is, can he still play football at a high level? And that's going to be the determined. There's nothing else that should be even mentioned now.
And that's what I think it should have been since the very beginning. Can he still find more glimpses, more moments like peak Aaron Rodgers than he did in New York or the final year in Green Bay? If he does, then yeah, we're talking about a significant improvement, maybe the best quarterback play they've had in half a decade, if that's the case. And we're talking about a different outlook for this team this year than the 9 wins that so many of us expect, right? So I think that's a really important part of this. I think it's a good point you make that, you know, he's pushed all that to the side. We can talk about the stories that are out there about his relationship with Garrett Wilson breaking down throughout the year or criticizing Mike Williams after one game. We'll see what happens if the Steelers offense struggles. And I've said this repeatedly too, if and when the Steelers offense struggles, what it's like then, I think will be interesting to see if it's all still hunky dory down at 3400 South Water. But
what does hunky dory even mean?
Like hunky dory, like, hey, we're all happy. Kumbaya. Are you going to make me Google the origin of hunky dory right now?
We use cliches all the time and we have no clue where they come from. What the hell is hunky dory?
It's in the dictionary.
I understand
adjective,
what it means, but
fine,
where is it
going well?
Where did it originate from?
Where did the saying hunky dory come from? Opinions differ. One view is that it derives from hunky dory, a breath freshener introduced in 1868. Another opinion is that it originates from a street in Yokohama frequented by American sailors. So
what is this still relevant in 180 years later? Or at least whatever it is. 1868, what is it, 1960? Well,
why are you shitting all over everything today?
I'm not shitting.
You
on
should
anything.
Be in a good mood.
I've been up since like 5 a.m.
It's summertime. Come on.
The bed at like 1:30, up at 5.
Be happy. We're going to have Yoey on, I think, maybe for real today. Be happy.
I did message him. He was mother effing somebody. I forget who.
Awesome. Let's talk about some of the actual organizational stuff that Rodgers was asked about yesterday by Pat and the boys. The first one was just the idea of wrapping up his career in Pittsburgh. And the retirement thing, you've seen that clip everywhere. We don't need to play that again. He said this is going to be his last year. But what it means to him for his last year to be in Pittsburgh.
And for this year, I'm going to give the Steelers everything that I got and empty the tank and be super comfortable and satisfied with whatever happens. Obviously, we dream about playing at the highest level in the biggest games. But the fact that I can come back to Pittsburgh, play for Mike, get to know the organization, be a part of a special franchise that's had such incredible success, and be able to play and follow in the footsteps of the Terry Bradshaws and Franco Harris and Lynn Swann and
hell yeah,
Jack Lambert, you know, Mean Joe Green, and then all the guys that played in the 90s and the 2000s, you know, and Jerome Bettis and Big Ben, you know, all-time greats. And just to be a guy that can put on the same uniform is pretty special for me. And that's all I need this year. It's just to go out there, have a chance to compete. That's why I'm working so hard, because I want to put myself in a position to be able to play 20 games this year and 20 great ones.
20 great ones, he says. This is the part that I think I've enjoyed most about Rodgers sort of riding off into the sunset with the Steelers, Mark, is he's said, okay, yeah, I'm going to leave everything out on the field. Now, there's also the concern that maybe it becomes a bit of, I don't know, like I said, riding off into the sunset. I don't think he's going to coast at any point. That's not my, you know, what I'm trying to imply. But I think if he really goes out there and leaves it all out and we get, like I said, more glimpses of the greatness that Rodgers had at the peak of his career than he had the last 2 years in New York, year plus in New York, and the final year in Green Bay, then that's a huge difference for the Steelers as far as their quarterback play goes.
No, I liken it to it's game 7. It's game 7 of his career. And what do you get out of game 7s? You get everybody's best effort. That's the way I look at it. I don't look at it as a farewell tour. Every place I'm going, I'm getting a gift, you know. John Cena farewell teller, or not even that, but who had the farewell tour? Was that Jeter, maybe?
Yeah.
Where everywhere he got it, like a car or something. No, I think you're going to get the best, because there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow for him. He knows if he screws up, he fails, he gets hurt, it's over. So, you know, this is the last training camp. So maybe he is excited to go to training camp, because this is it. No more. No more of this garbage. No more opening days. No more running through the tunnels.
Yeah, and no more, like he said, no more life in the public eye, he said yesterday. He's going to do the Homer Simpson back into the bushes and just sort of go live his life.
Ben say that too?
I think Ben implied that he would spend a lot more time with his family. I think Ben doing a hour-long podcast once a week isn't exactly him not enjoying retirement, staying, you know, doing his best to stay out of the public eye, driving his kids to practices and stuff, you know? He's being a dad. He's doing all that.
You talk about him being passionate when he was talking about his personal life.
Yeah.
You know, I can see a guy just being, he just wants to be left alone. Why not? Who, like I said a couple weeks ago, who the hell cares if he's married or not? Like I said, how many other Steelers do you know who are married or not? Why does it matter? Who cares? Just leave me alone. I want to go on my beach with my damn dog and my wife and look at the whales and the dolphins. Leave me alone.
Leave him alone.
I mean, he was, that's where he got a little bit, I won't say grumpy, but
yeah,
a little hot, you know, a little hot behind the old collar. Is that what they call it? A little tight around the collar. I did my
under the collar. Yeah. So
he wasn't hunky dory, put it that way.
Good call. as for what he's bringing to the table, and again, there's between the lines what he can still do as a football player, but there's the added impact of just having him around.
To have leadership on offense, and I'm going to earn it every single day in training camp. But there's some stability, I think, that I can bring, having played in a similar system for a long time and having just played a ton of football. You know, I told the guys in the first meeting, you know, I want to pass on my knowledge. I played 20 years, and I want to share those experiences with you guys.
So he's real big, it struck me so far, on not just bringing what he's able to do, like I said, between the lines to this team, but what he's able to help people with away from the field as well. In so much as, you know, coaching up the young quarterback, Will Howard, showing guys what he sees on the field at times. And that's another thing that this offense is desperately needed, is a quarterback who's willing to tell people, yeah, this is what's working. This is what's not working. They didn't have that in Pickett, Trubisky, Wilson, Fields, any of those guys before him.
Nope. Is Joey here yet, by the way?
Yeah. And I'm actually going to bring him in this time as opposed to just letting him sit there.
Oh, he got some Steelers takes.
I'm sure he does.
He doesn't hold back.
I know.
You talk about a Yinzer. That's why I called him Yinzer Joey, just because of that.
So you're just going to take shots while Josh can't.
Well, he knows darn well I call him Yinzer Yoey because he's.
All right. Well, in that case, let's just bring him in.
He's passionate about his Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up, Josh?
First of all, I wanted to announce that I will be a guest instructor at the George Pickens Youth Football Camp this summer. I just saw Mark's tweet about that this morning. Thank God for Pat Freiermuth. What a jerk. Not Pat, anyway.
No, not Pat.
That's my first take of the day.
Definitely.
How about that, man?
Oh, my God.
No, you expect anything less.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised from everything I've heard. Over the years, Chris, I like to ask Mark, what's this guy like? What's that guy like?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever heard much in the way of positivity about old number 14. So, you know.
No. Well, Kabali's shitting all over everything today.
Imagine that.
No. He's using words like hunky dory, and I'm like, what the hell does that even mean?
Why are you wearing a DJ hat, by the way? Like, is that your new gimmick now? Like, I know you live there, but like,
no. I have to wear the TJ hat until he signs his extension.
Oh,
it's a good icebreaker.
It's a good hat because you live in TJ. I'm sorry,
it's that too. Although he's still wait, he's still a carpetbagger and drags his kid to play baseball in South Allegheny.
Well, yesterday was his last game, so I think that might be.
I'd expect nothing less than that from a Bell Vernon guy, so it's fine.
Whatever. Okay, there, Venetia, the armpit of Peters Township.
Okay, we can talk gross meeting income about Venetia all you want. When I was a boy, it was all farmland. It's really changed, but anyway.
Anyway. We'll get back to Rodgers and the Steelers after we're done talking to Josh about very important things like the NHL draft, which goes down tomorrow. There's free agency shortly after that, right before summer ends on the 4th of July, as Kabali said the other day, a couple minutes ago. You can catch everything Josh has at The Athletic and, of course, Two for Talking, his podcast. And let's start with this. They've got 11 picks, Josh. 11 picks. Six of them are in the top 100, And with the Rangers making their decision the other day to give them that conditional pick, they have the 11th and 12th selections in the first round. And immediately everybody, myself included, started wondering, ooh, are they going to trade up? So does Kyle Dubas use all this draft capital to move up maybe into the top five, top six, and get one of those talents that everybody has had an eye on for the last year? Or does he sit back and let things come to him at 11 and 12? Because he needs all the talent he can get in the prospect pool.
You know, because I like Kyle, I wrote a column yesterday, and I even offered some advice. if I were the GM, which thank God I'm not, but yeah, I think he should, Chris. Like, I he certainly has the draft capital to move up, and this is not a great draft. It's a very top-heavy draft. Most of the scouts, and there's all these people who, like, their whole lives are – you know, studying, you know, the Mel Kuypers started this, I guess. We have people like this in the hockey world now. They will tell you there's, you know, six or seven players in this draft that are kind of sure things. And after that, it's not the worst draft ever, but it's not a particularly good one. So when you hear that and you're the Penguins and you're sitting at 11 and 12, and like you said, you have a second round pick, you have three third round picks. That certainly gives you the ability to move up, I would think. Now, the only problem is, you know, those teams in the top six or seven will, they know what this draft's all about too.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to pay them, you know, quite a price to move up. But if I were Kyle, it's something I would consider. The Penguins right now, their system is way better than it was 2 years ago when he took over. It's kind of league average now, which is a hell of a distance from where it was when he took over. It was the worst in the league. They have quantity now. That's been the thing. The Jake Guentzel trade, he traded for four or five assets, not one blue chipper necessarily, even though it looks like it's worked out, but quantity. You've got a bunch of guys who are going to be okay second or third line players, a solid defenseman. That's good, but they need to find star power somewhere in the next couple of years. They only have one star left, and he's going to be 38 this summer. And your odds of finding a star in the top five are a lot different than picking at 11 and 12. So if I were Kyle, I would consider moving up for sure, and I suspect that he will. I think he wants to be pretty aggressive.
My question, in football, Josh, they rank drafts by, you have to hit on the first rounder. You would like to get a starter maybe out of a second, maybe a third, and the other thing's just gravy. How does it work in hockey? What is considered a good draft when you look back on in a couple days or even a couple years and say, what do you need out of a draft to make it a successful draft?
It's pretty similar to football. Anything past the third round, like if a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guy becomes a good NHL player or even an okay NHL player, like that's kind of a victory. It really is. You have to hit on your first round picks, and even first round picks aren't a sure thing. I don't think the hockey draft is as sure of a thing as the football draft has become. Jim Rutherford used to tell me all the time, like, I don't give a shit about draft picks. Most of them aren't going to work out anyway. Like if I have a prospect I know is good, like, that's who I'm going to protect. I'm not going to protect that second-round pick because that's 50-50. He becomes a good player anyway. So that's why it's a good thing, I think, that the Penguins have so many picks, like 31 in the next three drafts, I think it is. And the majority of those are in the first three rounds. So they have set themselves up well. But the fact is, a lot of those draft picks aren't going to become NHL players. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you he's not going to use all those picks. He's going to package some of those picks and move up, whether it be in this draft or next year, where they have three second-round picks and a first-round pick next season. You are going to see Kyle Dubas maneuver quite a bit, I'm sure.
So does he use some of those picks to get some of these contracts off the books? Or does he use the two pieces that Sidney Crosby would most like to play with, Brian Rust and Rickard Rakell, package those with some draft picks and maybe foist a Ryan Graves or an Eric Carlson or a Tristan Jarry off on somebody as a part of those packages?
Yeah, it's funny, Chris. There's so many different kinds of trades they can make right now. You can trade Rickard Rakell or Brian Rust and get something big in return. Or you can also just, like, you know, please take Noel Chari off the books. We'll give you a third-round pick, too. Just take him at one of those trades. They also, I think, really want to try to find young NHL players, in which case they would have to give up premium draft picks as well. I don't have the sense that he is super eager to get rid of all the bad contracts. I know a lot of the fans are. Trust me, we all go to these websites now, Puckpedia it is for hockey, where you can look at all the hockey salary. Look at all those bad contracts. But I think his mindset probably, he would never say this, but I think Kyle's mindset is, we're going to stink this year anyway. I don't really care if I have bad players taking up some of the cap space. It's not like we're going out and trying to get Mitch Marner on July 1st. So let's try to get as many premium assets as we can. Like, he knew Kevin Hayes wasn't any good when he traded for him last year, but he got a second-round pick just to take him. That's why he's doing stuff like this. And I think it's probably – I mean, listen, the roster could look incredibly different a week from now, and it may, but they might really stink this coming season, and that might be the goal. They're the only team in the league, according to many people around the league, who are just actively selling and okay with not being very good this season. The 26th draft is, by all accounts, a great, great draft. You've got all these draft picks already. You've got prospects on the way now. These are unusual times for the Penguins. But if they don't spend to the cap this season, it wouldn't shock me. So I don't know that they're going to try to unload. If they can get rid of a bad contract here or there, they will. If they can trade Erik Karlsson, they will. He's not part of the future. Everybody knows that. But I think they will only trade Erik if they get something really good in return. I don't think there's a financial desperation to get rid of him.
Coach, you have a pretty good relationship with the captain. What's he thinking about potentially tanking and losing and playing, getting rid of players left and right? I mean, is he – I know he's probably going to say everything publicly the right thing, but what do you think he really feels?
He's not happy. I know he's not. I was in Sweden last month for the World Championships, and I was speaking specifically because he was there, and Marc-Andre Fleury was there. So I was talking with Sid, and you know, Chris has dealt with Sid before. Mark's a football guy, but you know, Mark's heard that Sid's a good human being a time or two, I'm sure, and he is. He's the greatest. Mm-hmm. And I asked him a question, and he gave me a one-word answer. I said, "What the hell? So you give me a one-word answer for it?" He goes, "What do you mean?" He wasn't trying to be rude, but there was like an edginess to him that I haven't really sensed before. And I actually was asking him about the coach search, and he just said, like, "I just want to win. I don't care who the coach is, really. I'll be happy with whoever. I just want to win." And I've never seen him quite like that. And I think it's got to be tough on him. You know, all the success he's had, winners for so long. In the latter stages of your career, to be on a team that's frankly this bad right now. And that's, we all know that's the cycle of things in sports, and hockey's no different. And he knows that. He understands it. I'm sure it's hard for him, though. And I'm sure it's, you know, this is probably going to be Evgeny Malkin's last season. I doubt Gino wanted to end his career going four straight seasons without making the playoffs. Nobody draws it up that way, but that here we are.
I was going to bring that up because since you wrote about it last week, Malkin's last season in Pittsburgh, is there a season beyond that somewhere else, whether it's in Magnitogorsk, or does this just end with him hanging out on a beach?
Anything's possible, I guess. But my sources have told me the Penguins aren't going to offer him another contract after this season. They're just ready to move on. And I think anybody who has watched Malkin play, you can see him declining every year. I mean, he's going to be 39 next month. He's had two reconstructive knee surgeries. That, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, but that's what you look like at that stage of your career. I don't see him playing for another NHL team. Like, I have all the respect in the world for Gino. I have all these people tweeting at me, he should go sign in Florida, stick it to the Penguins. You think Florida wants Evgeny Malkin at 40 years old? Like, I mean, really, if you watch any of the playoffs, he'd be like a fourth line center there. You think Gino's going to be the defensively responsible fourth line center at 40 years old when he's got $150 million in the bank? I don't think so. He might go play in Magnitogorsk. I don't know. I know that's always speculated. You know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if I were a betting man, I think he's going to make his way back to Florida and enjoy his life on the beach forever after this season. That would be my guess. And you know, whatever he wants to do, he doesn't owe Pittsburgh anything. He can do whatever he wants. He has certainly earned that right. And he's still an okay number two center, but he's, you know, compared to Crosby, that maybe it's not fair to compare anyone to him the way he has aged. But Gino's slowing down. We all see it.
It's just like football. And if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much of a chance of winning. It brings me back to goaltending. What is the situation here? Is there anything they can do? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel rather than Jari, I guess?
There is. there is light at the end of the tunnel, and his name is Sergei Mirashov. He's also probably a year away from being NHL ready. Mirashov is one of the Penguins' best prospects. He's the best goaltending prospect they've had since Tristan Jarry, I guess. He'll be the guy in Wilkes-Barre this season. I think that's the plan anyway. He put up spectacular numbers in Wilkes-Barre and Wheeling last year. He's a big-time athlete. He's only 21 years old. He's the guy. As for this season, however, as crazy as it sounds, when the season begins, which they haven't released the schedule yet, but I think October 7th is opening night for the NHL. When the season begins, then I think Tristan Jarry is going to be between the pipes. I don't see any alternative for them unless they're able to trade him, which they probably can't. Jarry did play well in the last month when they called him up. And if you're looking to defend him, he played behind a team that was absolutely pathetic defensively last season. They weren't doing their goaltenders any favors. Who else is there? Joel Blomqvist. You know, he looked good for a couple of games. His last four or five games, he didn't look like an NHL goalie. Alex Nedeljkovic, who we all love because he's like Mr. Personality, and he's an okay backup. He's not better than Jarry. His numbers weren't any better than Jarry's last season. So those are probably, believe it or not, the two guys to start the season, if I had to guess. And I think they bring Mirashov up when he's ready, but I don't think they want to rush him. And knowing how bad they conceivably will be this coming season, I don't know that you want to throw a 21-year-old goalie who's still developing behind that kind of a team.
How's Dan Muse going to handle all this? I mean, people don't know really much about this guy at all here in Pittsburgh anyway, or amongst Penguin fans. How does he avoid becoming the next Mike Johnston?
Yeah, he's in a really rough spot. He came across very well at his press conference. Really accountable guy. Mark, you'll appreciate this. We like when the coach after the press conference says, I want to meet the traveling media and get to know you guys a little bit. And he like chatted with us for 15 minutes.
Kissing butt.
Yeah, he was very nice. They don't always do that. We appreciated that. Oh, nice guy. Great.
I still don't think Tomlin knows my name, but go ahead.
I think he does. When he gets mad, he does, I think. But Dan handled himself really well. I've not heard a bad word about him. But he's in a hell of a spot here because he knows this team probably isn't very good this season. And he was brought in to bring along young players, the Ville Koivunens, the Rucker McGroartys, the Harrison Brunics. And yet, he still acquires a locker room that has a bunch of Hall of Famers who are pushing 40. And that's tough because those guys still want to win. They're still focused on doing everything they can to win, even though they obviously need a lot more help than they've gotten the last couple of years. So you have people in different phases of their careers. And I have all the respect in the world for those guys. But other than Sid, who is a coach's dream, everybody loves coaching him. But Gino, Chris Letang, Eric Carlson, I like those guys. But I promise you, they're not easy to coach. You've got some high maintenance issues there. So you've got to juggle that. You've got Sid, who's going to be going nuts if they stink because he wants to win. And you got a bunch of young guys who are just kind of finding their way in the NHL. And then you got the Kevin Hayes's and Nola Charis, guys who are just overpaid, just kind of finishing out their careers. That's a tough spot for a coach to be in. And one good thing they did, they brought in former Penguin Nick Bonino as an assistant coach, his first coaching gig. I'll tell you one thing about him. The big three, those guys love Nick Bonino. They're his old teammate. They have a lot of respect for him. He will serve as a bridge. If they don't like something about the new coach, if there are any kind of issues, he'll play the old Rick Tocchet role where he can be the middleman, which I think is important.
Do you think it could get to any point where Crosby just says, that's it, raid me, I'm done? I know he loves his legacy here in Pittsburgh and it probably would kill him, but winning probably is, like you had said, is probably number one on this. Do you envision any point where he'd be like, I'm done, get me out of here?
I could envision it, yeah. I mean, I only base it on conversations I've had with him. When like he gets, if you ever want to make him mad, nicest guy in the world, but he'll get a little snippy if you bring up, you get a little tired of this, you want to go play in Colorado with your buddy McKinnon, you want to go play in Montreal, the French love you, you know, whatever. He always says, like, I just signed a new contract. I want to be here. I love it here. And he's like, gets defiant about it. So just because of that, I always assume he'll stay. But I could imagine it, sure. This is a person who is like Mike Babcock once described him as a serial winner, which is a great description of him. He's won everything at every level. Now, the thing about Sid, like, it's not like he's Ray Bourque chasing a Stanley Cup at the end of his career. He's won it three times. And I think it's a godsend that the Olympics are this season. That can really give him something to focus on, you know, kind of that dangling, you know, carrot, right? Like, you know, he can go to Italy in February and go 3-for-3 all time in the Olympics. I'm sure that will be on his mind. But no, Mark, this has got to be painful for him. It absolutely is. I can imagine one day where he's like, Jesus, I don't want to finish my career like this. I think it's unlikely, but I think for most of us, if we could put ourselves in his shoes, we'd be like, yeah, that'd be kind of tempting to go play on a really good team in a nice warm climate or something the last couple of years of our career. I think for most of us, it would be tempting. For him, I still think it's unlikely.
Yeah, I just wonder if the dangling carrot, as you described it, in relation to the Olympics this year, is more, hey, can I help bring these young guys along and get this club back to a point where it can make a deep run in the playoffs? Like, I think, you know, there's the short-term dangling carrot, like you said, the Olympics. But then the long-term one is Sid, who probably doesn't see himself slowing down anytime soon, and he hasn't given us any evidence that he will, saying, no, in 2 or 3 years, I'm at the very least back in the playoffs, and maybe I'm taking a young up-and-coming team on a deep run.
And that's the goal, right? And that's – and Kyle Dubas will tell you, like, I want this team to get good again when Sid's still my captain, when he's still operating at a high level. And he's at that age where, yeah, I mean, he theoretically should be starting to slow down. So far, he has not. He is still, by anyone's estimation, one of the 10 best players in the league, which, you know, he turns 38 in August. That's a pretty incredible thing. And I know that's what Sid wants. I mean, he has basically told us, like, you know, I want to be here when this team gets good again, and we'll, you know, kind of show the young guys the way. That would be, that's the storybook ending that everybody in Pittsburgh wants, right? Like, the Penguins get good again and go on one last Stanley Cup run when old man Sid is leading the way. How long will he play is the ultimate question. He's got 2 years on his deal. That takes him to the summer when he turns 40. You know, if they stink this year and the one after, might he say, you know what, I'm done. Like, I got nothing else to prove. Maybe. But he is the ultimate hockey junkie. And if he is still healthy and playing well, I could certainly see him playing into his 40s. That would not surprise me. But I do think the team rapidly improving and these young guys, maybe a couple of these young guys being better than we thought and the Penguins getting better quickly, that would certainly entice him, I would think, to stick around for a couple of years longer than maybe he would have otherwise.
I would say it's my obligatory NFL football Steelers question to the guest, but I'm going to go a different route, Josh.
Uh-oh.
Tell me what you think of O'Neal Cruz. I know you're a big Bucko fan.
I'll tell you what I think.
He's getting fired up. I can see your thumbs.
I think last night I was sitting here on this very couch at about 11:30, and I see Donnie Kelly interviewed, and he said why he took him out of the game. And I said, hell yeah, that's my manager. That's what I want to hear. Because this isn't like a first-time thing with O'Neal, mind you. It was the first series of the season when they were in Miami, I think.
Yeah.
And he was on first base just like jogging around second. Somebody hit a double, and like he ended up having to stay at third base because he wasn't even running. Like, I don't know if he's lazy. I don't know if he is unaware. Like, I don't know what the deal is. He seems like a nice guy. He's obviously a wondrous talent. But for Christ's sake, like, it's not the first time this has happened. And that's all you need to know about Derek Shelton. The Shelty was just sitting around thinking, oh, it's okay, O'Neal. Go get him next time. And I think O'Neal was absolutely lying when he said there were two outs. He thought he didn't know how many outs there were. Like, who cares? Like, you could run.
It happened 3 days ago, Josh, hit the center field.
Yeah.
Right. Man, how would it?
He's incredibly talented, but he seems to have a high opinion of himself in terms of the way he carries himself and the way he plays. Like, I'm sorry. You're playing on a team that's going to lose 100 games. It's just not a good look. But good for Donnie Kelly. I love that he did it. I do. I like that. Everyone in that clubhouse is going to see, oh, that's like one of our best players. And he just sat him for dogging it. That, like, good. The Pirates need that. And I hope it has a positive impact on O'Neal, because I also think that if O'Neal were in a good organization, like if the Cardinals had drafted him or signed him or the Yankees, like, he'd probably be a superstar. Like, you see the talent that he has. It's like, you know, the right people around him, like, who knows how great he could be. So I realize being with the Pirates isn't helping his cause, but that was embarrassing, and I'm glad he took him out.
All right, since Cabali didn't take the 3-1 fastball down the middle and drive it to the gap. I'll do it. Obligatory Steelers question. Now that you've had time.
Ask him about Mike Tomlin. No. We know where that's going.
Yeah, we only got so much time. Aaron Rodgers, what is Josh Yoey's thought on Rodgers since he's come in, and what is your realistic expectation? Has anything about your thoughts on Rodgers with the Steelers changed since he came in?
Not really. I was hoping they would sign him. I still think in a one-year window, he gives them their highest ceiling. He says all the right things. I love how he's kissing up to Pittsburgh. I was watching the McAfee show yesterday. He's mentioning Kennywood and talking about all of his Yinzer buddies over the years. Cabali's name came up, of course. Like, he is – but I think he means it when he says, like, there are certain franchises that are just a little different. And he said, I played for one for 18 years, and this is a different one. Like, I don't think he'd be showing up to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Atlanta Falcons. I really don't. Like, and I appreciate, like, I have my issues with Tomlin, but clearly Tomlin's maybe the biggest reason he's here. So I've been impressed with everything Rodgers has said. I cannot wait for the circus that is going to be the 2025 Pittsburgh Steelers. And Mark, when's the first day of training camp? July 24th, something like that?
Don't remind me.
23rd
is reporting day. 24th is
first practice.
Well, no pads for 4 days, so you're looking like August 1st, really, if anything. Well,
you let me know when the first practice is. I will make my presence felt on the hills of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Ooh. I will be there for that event. Aaron Rodgers, to me, he's Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's in his own little world. Speaking of people who have a high opinion of themselves, but that's okay. Like, I actually find him endlessly entertaining, and I'm glad they signed him. I think it was good business, quite honestly. I am looking forward to it. As for my expectations, I think they'd be a playoff team. Like, I don't see any profound weakness on their roster. If he can play at a fairly high level, they can win 10 or 11 games. Do I think they can win the AFC? No. This is a bad time to try to win the AFC. It's a loaded conference, but I think they might be better than people think.
Wow. Some positivity from Josh on the Steelers. I mean, we're going to walk away from this feeling pretty good, I think.
Why not? I always feel good when I'm on this show. You guys perk me up in the morning.
It helps when I actually bring you into the chat and don't let you sit there for 20 minutes.
Listen, I'm a fan of the program. You can do that.
You got bumped. Mac was too worried. He just totally ignored you.
No, I just whiffed.
There's a lot going on that week. It's okay. Yeah. I don't take it personally. It's okay.
I screwed up. All right, get back to the gym.
Speaking of that, tell us exactly what happened at this gym where you had to go to the doctor.
Here's my ankle brace. Box jumps. So I was doing these box jumps.
You working out with Rossi?
No, God, no. No, I was doing box jumps at the gym. And I actually completed all 10 of them, and I was feeling good about myself. And after the 10th one, I just very nonchalantly jumped off and, like, my freaking ankle turned. I thought it was broken. Like, I turned around and looked like, oh God, I'm like looking to see if it's dangling off of the leg. And so luckily my good friend, Dr. Paul Lorenzi, who is the Clarton football team doctor forever, happens to be a football
doctor.
So I texted him. I'm like, hey, you gotta look at my ankle. So he's like, geez, come in tomorrow. So we did a little x-ray. He's like, oh my God, relax. It's a sprain. You'll live. still hurts really bad, but it's getting better. So. Yes.
How high was this box? Like a
foot? Like 2 or 3 inches. I don't know.
Yeah. We had to do that in football way back in the day with our total pads on.
Oh, I would have liked to have seen that.
I would be able to hit the first one. Yeah. The second one was a little higher. My feet would just get on it. Then I would slip off and scrape up my shins.
See?
To this day, my shins were all bloody. You could feel the ripples in my bone of my shins because of that.
I can jump really high, like once, but then I get tired. So by the third one, I'm like,
you're done. Just
waiting to break.
Now, were you looking around, make sure anybody was looking at you?
I was so afraid because I went down like a ton of bricks, and I'm looking around like I don't think anybody noticed. Thank God.
Now imagine going on a gurney and getting pushed through SoFi Stadium.
I was thinking about you. I think Big Ben kind of offered you a good luck. Ben and Michelle Tafoya were just standing there looking at Mark like, why is this guy on a gurney?
That was the most embarrassing thing in my life. And my best part is just – I was right by the Steelers locker room, and I put my hands over my face like I was a 4-year-old, like nobody would know it was me.
And Chris, I was texting him. I always bother Mark during games. I'm texting him all game, like, why'd they call this? What's Tomlin doing? Blah, blah. And finally I said, will you please bleep, 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 get back to me? And
yeah.
I'm at the hospital. I'm like,
oh. Englewood emergency ward room.
That's a heck of a place. Oh, boy.
No, I mean, it was just, I just spent 9 hours there. That's all that was. I'd take an ambulance there, too.
Mark couldn't even get a 4 o'clock game. He had to have a night game for when he blew his
Achilles. Then they wouldn't let me on the plane back to Phoenix to go back.
I don't blame them.
They're like, well, you don't have any shoe on. I'm like, what are you talking about? People go on this place with open toe shoes all the time. I got a wrap around my foot. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there's probably like 10 dogs on that plane. Like, do they have shoes on? Like,
crying babies, dogs.
Yeah.
People taking giant dumps in the 2-inch bathroom.
That's right.
But Kabali's not allowed on.
Boy, would I love to see you fall off of that.
So I'll reenact it for you if you'd like. It was. I did something similar 3 years ago on an escalator at South Hills Village, where I like actually fell down the escalator right by the dicks at South Hills Village. Yeah, I know.
I once was weed whacking a hillside and slipped and fell off the hillside. First thing I did is get up and make sure nobody was looking at me.
Oh, I'm the exact same way. Like, oh God, there's going to be some Penguins fan here like tweeting this, making me look like a jerk. This is all I need.
Thanks for checking in this morning, Josh. I'm glad we got to catch up with you. We'll do it again later this summer, early fall, right around the time training camp and the season get ready to start, and they play their traditional 6 preseason games against the Blue Jackets.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. I enjoy the show very much. Continued success.
We appreciate you lying to us like that. We'll talk soon.
All right. We'll see you.
Josh Yowie here on Kabali and Mac. Like I said, follow his stuff on The Athletic. And, of course, Two for Talking, the podcast that he is doing with Joe Bartnick, is great stuff as well. I was looking at some of their clips the other day. Just thinks the Penguins are going to stink this year, and that's the plan.
Oh, you can do that in hockey.
Yeah, it's tough to do it, though, like you said, when you still have a generational talent on the roster. To tell Sidney Crosby, or not tell him, but just imply through all your offseason maneuvers, hey, we're probably going to stink this year. That's tough.
I can't see him ever going anywhere else because I think he's more worried about how he fits into. I don't think he would want to alienate, even though he wouldn't alienate if he went anywhere. I think he would think that he's obligated to stay here. That's just from afar.
I don't know if it's a sense of obligation. I think it's a sense of his place in both hockey history and franchise history. He's a huge history buff. Dude will just absolutely devour World War II books. Our friend Jim Colony has told me about that. So, like, he understands, he has this wider view, like I mentioned earlier, of, you know, what he's chasing and how I think he wants people to perceive him after it's all done. And if it's all in one city, in one jersey with one team, I think that means a lot more to him than like a lot of people have theorized finishing off in Colorado or Montreal or somewhere else. So I think that's why he ends up staying through the hard times here and trying to drag these young kids along through development and maybe to the playoffs and farther down the road at some point.
Penguins. I don't know what to say, man. You need a goalie. They don't have a goalie.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be rough because they don't have the talent. And the talent that they do have is not going to listen to the college coach. I think that's just a bad recipe, man.
Yeah, Letang and Carlson, the first time they tell the coach to piss off in French, or Carlson in Swedish, it's going to be something to watch. Thanks to our good friends at Nail Studio 2. Nail Studio 2, that's a Roman numeral. NailStudioII.com is the place where you go to book your appointments online. You got a wife or a girlfriend, a daughter, somebody in your life who is getting ready for beach and pool season. It's here, by the way. Even though Kabali's insistent that summer ends on the 4th of July, you're taking trips. They want to look good, get their nails did. You can book it all online at nailstudio2.com. Again, Roman numeral, nailstudioii.com. Check out all their work on Instagram at Nail Studio McMurray. You could also just give them a call, 724-941-4595. Out there in the South Hills in Peters Township, just past Donaldson's Crossroads in Lakeview Square on 19, next to Juniper Grill. It is very busy this time of year, so book online now, nailstudio2.com, whether it's for that summer vacation, maybe a graduation gift for someone, maybe you're headed to a wedding, right? Everybody wants to look good. Lily and Lynn are swamped right now, but great at what they do. And they're hiring another nail tech or two if you're good at what you do and are in that world. Nail Studio 2 is the place, nailstudioii.com. We appreciate them supporting the show here on Kabbalah Mac. So a couple loose ends from the Rodgers interview I wanted to tie up here because we were talking about it before you started throwing darts at Yoey and had to bring him in.
I understand. I worked with Yoey for like 20 years.
You're basically half your life, yeah.
You should have seen the stuff that we used to do at the Daily News. Woo.
That place was lawless.
Oh, so.
Completely and totally lawless.
It's not like it's some random guest.
It's not. We wrapped up before we brought in Yoey talking about Rodgers and the leadership quotient. And he's already talked about this, but he kind of doubled down on it yesterday on Pat McAfee's show, talking about just how he's going to help bring along these young quarterbacks. Well, the young quarterback in Will Howard.
I told the Tom Arthur quarterback coach this. I'm not going to speak up. You know, I'm not going to slow things down. I'm going to study back at the hotel room and ask you questions on the side. I'm not going to interrupt the room. However, you know, as we get into this, I want to help those guys out. You know, Mason's played a lot of football, so is Sky. But Will's a rookie. And so I pulled him aside during one of the days and I said, listen, I want to help you as much as possible, but I'm not going to overstep my bounds. If you want assistance, I'm here, buddy. I want to help you.
So again, he's, like I said, doubling down basically on the idea of being a mentor, for lack of a better way to put it, or just lending a hand to a young guy like Will Howard.
Once again, forget the actual act of it, if he does it or not. Mm-hmm. What have we heard from Joe Flacco? I ain't done with this crap. What did we hear from Ben and Mason? It's not my job. Now, this guy, Mr. Prima Donna, Mr. Diva, says, shit, I'm going to help this guy out as much as I possibly can. I don't know. Does he know that's what he should say? It comes off as sincere, so I can't say that he was just putting that on as saying, hey, this is good. Get people on my side. But you can see, understand why people would like it. Because while a lot of these other quarterbacks say, Brett Favre, I ain't done with this crap.
Ben.
Like, yeah, I'll help this. He doesn't have to. He doesn't owe Will Howard a thing. He doesn't owe the Steelers organization anything other than, you know, potentially 17, 18, 19, 20 games. That's what he owes him. He owes him to go win. He doesn't owe Will Howard, who just met the other day, a darn thing. But he's willing to do it.
Well, and I just like the way he described how he plans on going about it. He's not going to, you know, take over the meetings and say, no, we got to do this, that, this, and you got to look for this. He's going to talk to the quarterback's coach, who he's already got a relationship with, and Tom Arth, and say, hey, what about this? What about that? Maybe occasionally pull Will Howard aside and say, you know, this, that, your drop, the arm, whatever it might be. And that's, I think, the best way to do it if he does, in fact, do that. And like you said, at the very least, it's something that a lot of older veteran quarterbacks just aren't interested in. The one thing I am most excited for, as far as actual on-field impact of Aaron Rodgers being in the Steelers offense, is that he's absolutely in love with a position group that we know the OC also loves, tight ends.
The tight end room, Tone, I know you do too.
Yep.
Pat Freiermuth is my locker mate now, which is great because he was the one that was DMing me the most on Instagram.
Putting a recruiting hat on. I like that. I respect that.
Pat's he's a super talented guy. He can do a lot of different things. You know, he can block at the point of attack. He can split out and run routes. He can run choice routes. He can run seam routes. Then you got Big Darnell, who's an on-the-ball tight end, like a true Y tight end. He reminds me of Sadie's, you know, like size first and foremost because he's, you know, 6'8", and he's pushing the three bills, you know. But you would think, oh, you know, big guy, can't, you know, he's that big, he can't run. No, man, the last play of the entire minicamp, he caught a seam down the middle against cover two, I think. I don't know if it was Will or Skyler threw it, but it was a great seed down the pipe, and Darnell just hands catch, you know, into the end zone.
He loves Darnell Washington. I can tell already that he can't wait to use Darnell Washington. And we know that Arthur Smith loves to have multiple tight ends on the field. We've talked about this already. You mentioned that it's a contract year for Darnell Washington. You add in the fact that Aaron Rodgers has shown an ability to work with tight ends in the past. It's a tight end driven offense in a lot of different ways. I hate to jump the gun on June 25th, 4 weeks before training camp starts, but all signs seem to indicate that Darnell Washington should be making a giant leap forward this year.
Yeah, I mean, he has to continue what he was doing in mini camp, but half the battle's there when you have the quarterback in your, you know, hip pocket or excited to throw you the ball. You're not going to think twice, and the only time I'm going to get it to you on the first play of the game when I'm going to do a half rollout and dump it to you, a delayed release, which basically all Washington did last year. So they can use him. I don't expect him to put up monster numbers or anything like that, but he can definitely come up with some big catches in key situations. I think he's in better place than he is right now. So, yeah, I mean, when he compares you to, not even arguably, his favorite tight end target probably of all time in Mercedes Lewis,
mm-hmm.
That's saying something.
Good sign.
That's saying it's a good something. Sign. And Darnell is a lot better than he was last year. I don't know if it's healthier. I mean, we talked about that already. How well he's been looking. So, I mean, and you talked about Arthur Smith. I mean, everything seems to be gelling for him. Once again, he's not going to have a Pro Bowl season. He's not going to have a 40-catch season. But he can be productive.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him blow up this year in a good way, like numbers-wise.
Plus, he can just pick some people up and just – I saw him last year, I think it was, back on backers. They just let him go once. He just picks up – I forget who it was, which is like, nah, we don't need you here, over here. I mean, that's just how big and strong he was, you know.
He's a monster. I can't wait to see Rodgers utilizing him in short yardage.
What about him forgetting he did not know Caleb Johnson's name? Now the running back we drafted. That's the only person that he forgot.
But he named just about everybody else on the roster.
He knew everybody.
He knows what he's doing.
Honestly, I've heard that he asked for one of the media guides, and Steelers provide media guides to the players of who us schlubs are. He asked for one like right away because he wanted to know who he's dealing with.
Well, he knows.
So I just told you that his meticulous nature of trying to, he said he was good with names and good with faces, and he has to learn 90 people right now. So,
and
he pretty
and
much
you.
Named every single one of them. Except yeah. Caleb Johnson, he forgot.
Well, you got the mention over Caleb Johnson, which is impressive. Good for you.
Yeah, for you. I have a feeling his career is on the up. A little bit more on the up than mine.
What? This isn't.
Well, this isn't third, it he was a third round pick. I'm an old man.
Yeah.
Old man river. Sweet river.
If your AC is breaking down in this heat, like Kaboom's Achilles, by all means, call Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. Check them out on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, because you literally cannot, not just do not want, but cannot go without AC in this kind of heat. So if it needs fixed, have them on out there. Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. Thanks to them for supporting the show as well. Thanks to Yoli's for jumping in with the $100 gift card. We'll figure out a way to give that away. Don't forget to follow us on all the social media, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, of course, on YouTube. If you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers, and we're up over 1,800 now, you'll be entered in that drawing for the autographed Paul Skeens baseball. Tomorrow morning, usual time, I guess, if we have one, around 10:30. And a special guest who we had mentioned earlier in the week will join us tomorrow on the show.
Pittsburgh Dad.
Not Pittsburgh Dad. Not Bad Napoleon. Any legit hints you want to give?
Nah, I'm done giving away hints because then they'll blow us off.
This person's not going to blow us off.
I don't know. The other people tend to blow us off from time to time.
It happens. You get the occasional Belfont snorkel and you move on with life.
I don't know what that means, Belfont snorkel.
I don't know. It's something Starkey made up. You move on with life.
Starkey Starkey. Every day he comes in, he goes, I'm like, what the hell does that mean, Starkey?
I don't ask questions. The best way to approach Joe is just say, hey, Joe, what's up? How you doing? Everything good? And if he starts to ramble a little bit, you just say, okay, everything's good then. And you walk away.
Yeah. I can assure you it's not TJ. Unless you're talking TJ McConnell.
No, neither football player. Neither TJ on the show tomorrow. I can guarantee that. How about that? The world is your oyster outside of that as far as who you want to guess who's going to be on tomorrow's show. Or you could just show up tomorrow morning and watch it or subscribe on YouTube to make sure you don't miss any of it as well. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team, Heck Team Homes, for presenting the latest episode of Cabali and Mac. We appreciate them as well. If you missed anything, you know, just rewind, go on the YouTube and catch it. And we'll do it again tomorrow right here on Cabali and Mac. See you later. Bye.